Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. Who could know it? I, the Lord, know your hearts." My heart is wicked. My heart is deceitful. And yet, when it comes to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, surely I know that He liveth. My Redeemer liveth.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. We are glad you've tuned in today to our continued Easter series celebrating Jesus' saving love. For centuries, many have tried to discredit Jesus' triumph over the grave, saying that his resurrection was a mythical story drummed up by desperate followers. But as Raul digs deep into the biblical accounts of Jesus' empty tomb, you'll find assurance that our Savior is risen, living, and victorious. If you have your Bible, join us in John chapter 20 as Raul Reese begins today's study, Did Christ Rise from the Dead?
One of the things about Easter, they're always trying to disqualify the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the crucifixion. But just a few weeks ago, we were in Israel, and I got to go into the tomb of Jesus, and it was just amazing that every time I go to Jerusalem and I go into that tomb, it's not just another hole on the wall or just another place where someone was buried. But there's something about the tomb of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that He resurrected on the third day. Because if there was no resurrection, there would be no hope for the world today. We could actually say there is no God. And when we die, we vanish and we become nothing and non-existent. But yet we know that everyone dies in this world. Young, old, everyone has their days to live, and then comes the day of death. And it's always important that we understand that going back, way back in time to the Garden of Eden, where literally sin entered the world, Adam and Eve sinning against God by partaking of the tree that was forbidden. That couple, our father and mother, at the beginning sinning against God, they brought forth death in the Garden of Eden. But most important, Satan took the title deed to the earth at that particular moment away from Adam and Eve. This is why when Paul the Apostle writes in the book of Romans, chapter 5, 6, 7, and 8, especially in chapter 5, verse 12, to the end of the chapter, he talks about two Adams, first Adam and second Adam. First Adam sinned, second Adam redeemed. Jesus, when He came and He died on the cross, and then He rose again from the dead, and then after 40 days He ascended to heaven. And what's so beautiful this morning is that many years ago, 1900 years ago, there was a woman by the name of Mary Magdalene. We have the story in the Gospel of John, that Jesus had been here ministering for 3.5 years, and He had chosen 12 men to become His disciples and then to become apostles. One of them becoming a betrayer as he betrayed the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. But then the other 11, as Jesus went to Pilate, and Pilate arrested Him, and they brought Him before and accused Him and tried Him. And then Pilate tried to wash his hands and say that he was not guilty of this man's blood. And then turning Him over to be crucified, to be scourged, to be beaten, to be spit upon. When I think of what they did to Jesus, none of us here have ever really suffered so much what the Lord had suffered for each one of us individually to make a point. That He truly was the Redeemer. He did it all in obedience to the Father, because Jesus was on a deadline. Everything he did was according to the will of God. Even when they came to him, he said, my time is not yet. But then when his time was now ready, he automatically went and he did. And remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. If I have to die on the cross, Father, I will die. I will die for you. And he committed himself. And he gave himself to the Father. And when Jesus Christ was taken, and he was beaten, and he was harassed, and as he stood in front of Pilate, as he washed his hands, the people began to mock him and to cry out, crucify, crucify Jesus. But yet to release Barabbas, the thief and the murderer. People get mixed emotions when you're in a crowd. It's really important that we make a statement as we stand alone. Individuality is very important, not only as a person, but to make sure that we know what is right and what is wrong. And we know for sure that the Bible says that everyone has sinned and comes short of the glory of God. No one can ever enter heaven. Even if you went this morning to Jerusalem and you took the tour to go everywhere in Jerusalem and the Galilee area, you went up to Tel Dan, Caesarea Philippi, you went out to the desert of Judea, and then you came to Calvary, to the Mount of the Skull, and you stood there and you watched the Mount of the Skull and then went into the tomb right next door to the garden. And you walked into that little tomb. And you came out, it doesn't really mean that you can go to heaven just because you've been to Jerusalem or you've been to the tomb. The Bible says not even in baptism. Even if you were baptized as an infant, even if you were baptized as a teenager or as a young adult or an old person, that doesn't get you to heaven. The Bible says, first of all, we need to understand that we have sinned against God, and sin separates me from God. The issue is about sin. Harmakia in the Greek, it means to miss the mark. In the old English, the English used to actually have bows and arrows, and they would have a target. And they would have competition, and they would take their bow and arrow, and they would shoot out of 10 arrows. They would get 9 bullseyes, but one of them missed. They would say, you missed the mark. That's the word for sin. But you see, we're here because Jesus Christ not only died on the cross, but he rose again from the dead. And I have to really look at one thing in my life today. Even as Mary Magdalene came to that tomb and she had been a sinner, and Peter and James and John and every one of them were sinners. And imagine how they must have felt when Jesus died. The men really thought, now what do we do? They came to the tomb and they were hiding, and the woman came. Let me read you what it says in John chapter 20, verse 1. And now on the first day of the week, on Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. And she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. And then Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple John, and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. You know, John is writing the gospel, and John says, hey, guess what? I beat Peter to the tomb. He wants us to know that. He says, Peter was not that fast, but I got there first. And what's so beautiful here is that John and Peter come to the tomb, and they come right to the edge of the tomb, and listen to what it says. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloth lying there, and yet it did not go in. Everything was in place, but there was no body. No body. And the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying in the linen cloth, but folded together in a place of itself. Notice how God is a God of order. He took the handkerchief, folded it up, and placed it down to demonstrate that he was not there. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also and saw and believed. And for as they yet did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead, notice that he, Jesus, had been telling them all the way through for 3.5 years, the Son of Man is going to go to Jerusalem and he's going to be betrayed and he's going to be scourged and he's going to die. But on the third day, he will rise again. And they still could not understand. Just like so many of us do not really truly understand that we live in a physical world and yet there is a spiritual world. As there is light and darkness, there are demons and there is a devil that has come to rob and to steal and to kill. And this was the reason that out of all of the galaxies that God ever created, that he took upon himself this great mission to send his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, into this little miniature world that was populated. And he said, son, you're going to go and you're going to die for their sins. Imagine that. Jesus, Son of the living God, the only one that could ever die for the sins of the world.
You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Call us at 800-634-9165 or visit us at somebodylovesyou.com to order this entire Easter series on a convenient thumb drive. Now let's rejoin Raul for more faith-building insight from today's lesson titled, Did Christ Rise from the Dead?
It just grips my heart to know that Jesus Christ died for me, to cleanse me, to wash me, to give me eternal life, that when I die, I make only a transfer, because Christians don't really die. Christians only die once, but they live forever. Non-believers die twice, physically and spiritually. That's why it's really important to know your heart. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. Who could know it? I, the Lord, know your hearts. My heart is wicked. My heart is deceitful. And yet, when it comes to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, surely I know that he liveth. My Redeemer liveth. I can see within the scriptures that the resurrection of Jesus Christ was foretold in the Psalms. In Psalm 16, 750 years before Christ ever came into the world, before he was ever born in Bethlehem, in that little town, the house of bread. The psalmist David says in 16, verse 10, 11, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol or hell, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are the pleasures forevermore. Jesus, the psalmist proclaiming the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah 53 speaks not only of his resurrection, but of his crucifixion. He said in Isaiah 53, 10, 12, yet it shall please the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief, for you make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prolong in his hand. For he shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied by his knowledge. My righteous servant Jesus shall justify many, for he shall bear their sins. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he has numbered the transgressors, and he has borne the sins of many. Surely he has borne our sins. He's the way, he's the truth, he's the life.
He's the one that takes the prostitute, the drug addict, the drunkard, the liar, the fornicator, the adulterer. He's the one that takes and says, I will forgive you, I will cleanse you, I will wash you. If you only come to me, I will give you resurrection life. If you humble yourself before me, I will take you. No shame in calling ourselves Christians. No shame in coming to Jesus Christ and receiving His love, receiving His grace, receiving His mercies. For such price has been paid by Him, God's power. God's power. Just like when Mary Magdalene came to the tomb, Jesus is here today with us. It was not a tomb to be looked upon, but a tomb where Jesus decided that He would rise to give us eternal life. And yet, look how much we've done against Him. We've sinned against Him. We've missed the mark so many times. Sin destroys so many people. Look what alcohol does to young people and older people. You know, it's amazing with these commercials on television. They make the nice-looking guys and nice-looking women, and they're having such fun. But I wish they would show them 20, 30 years later when they have no liver, when their brain cells are burned, and they have no hope, and they've lost their wives, and they've lost their husbands, and they've lost their children, and their lives are a mess. And those that have been active sexually and through AIDS and all the diseases, and then, you know, not being able to function correctly because you had too many women or too many men, and it's really messed you up physically and spiritually. How we need Jesus in our lives. For He's the only one that can cleanse us and wash us from our sin, because we all have sinned. And yet, why is it that so many people will go to hell? Because they will not believe in Jesus Christ. It's not just attending church. It's not just making a stand. It's a lifestyle. It's a transformation that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit as I commit my life to Him, as I say, Lord, here am I. And at the same time, Lord, as You resurrected from that tomb, I stand before You here this morning because, Lord, I am lost. I am desperate. I need You. I want You, Lord, to be my Lord, to be my Savior. And we need to be really have integrity in our hearts. That we need to move away from that old life that we used to have and walk into our new life in Jesus Christ, because life is too short. And how glorious it is when Jesus Christ can touch us by that power of the Holy Spirit and by that same power that led Jesus out of the tomb. That's why it means so much to me this morning, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because of all of the prophecies, 500 prophecies were actually fulfilled. When God gave the prophecies of His coming, He said there'll be 500 prophecies in total. 300 of them were fulfilled by Jesus at His first coming, which the prophets had prophesied from. And then the next 200 will be at the second coming of Jesus Christ. And yet when we look at a world like today, a world where we don't know what tomorrow may bring, surely we need our security not in America, our security in Christ. Not our security on our Visa cards or our bank accounts or anything else that we have, because that will never bring you peace. That will bring you more desperation, more emptiness, because there's no satisfaction in the lives of people. We want more and more and more. And there's nothing wrong with having things, but as the things possess you, it becomes wrong. Who is your God today? Whoever you spend the most time with, that's your God. Listen, the most important thing's eternity. This world is temporal. We are temporal. We are people that get sick and die. And yet Jesus Christ says, if you really believe in me, if you really trust me, if you confess me, I will confess you. and I will give you eternal life. Why? Because Jesus Christ came to justify the sinner. In Romans 4:25, he says, who was delivered up because of our offenses, and God raised him because of our justification. Then who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore has risen and even is at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. For us, he intercedes. 1 Corinthians 15:18, 19 says, then also those who have fallen asleep or died in Christ have perished. If this life only we have hope in Christ, we are almost men miserable. If this was it, can you imagine? We would be miserable. But there is a life after death. A life after death. And if you want to see your relatives, if you want to see your sons and daughters, you need to bring them to Christ. You need to bring them to Christ. Why? Because once we die, it's over. Nobody can come back from the dead. People will go to hell. People will go to heaven. Nobody can be prayed out of hell. Hell will be cast into the lake of fire. Every person, from the devil to his demons, to the Antichrist, to the false prophet, to every angel that fell, will be cast into the lake of fire. And every person that ever went to hell, and hell itself and death, will be in the lake of fire. But yet in heaven, there is no more sorrow, no more tears, no more death, no more disease. But we will live with him forever and ever and ever and ever. That's what the Bible says. To those who believe in the resurrection. Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man open the door to their hearts, Jesus is outside, I'll come in. If you invite me, I'll come in and sup with you and you with me. He said, well, what do I have to do to become a Christian? What do I have to do to go to hell? Nothing, just keep doing what you're doing. But if you want to go to heaven, the first thing you have to do is you have to acknowledge that you have sinned against God. Sin separates me from God. And if I admit that I have sinned against God, then secondly, I need to get on my knees or wherever I am and say, Lord Jesus, I want to repent of my sins. That means to make an 180-degree turn. And then when you repent, by faith, I believe in Jesus Christ. I put my faith and trust in him, and he will receive me, and he will immediately write my name in the book of life this very day. He'll take his blood, and he'll cleanse me and wash me from every sin that I have ever committed, and he will say, forgiven. He'll cast my sins as far as to the east of the west and bury them in the deepest part of the ocean. And the Bible says he will remember them never again. Never again. That's who Jesus Christ is. He gives to us eternal life. The gift of salvation. You're drowning. He's throwing out to you the saving factor. All you have to do is take the life jacket and he'll save you.
If you or someone you know has had doubts about Jesus' resurrection, we hope today's lesson has reassured you of this world-changing reality. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Ruiz. To review today's teaching, just call us at 800-634-9165, and we'll send you an unedited copy for a donation of $5 or more. Simply ask for Raul's message titled, Did Christ Rise from the Dead? We'd also like to tell you about an MP3 thumb drive of Raul's entire Easter series. It's a 14-message study that will strengthen your faith with more biblical glimpses of Jesus' mighty sacrificial love. As you explore Christ's death and contemplate his resurrection, you'll gain a deeper understanding of why God sent his only Son to a cross. You'll also learn more about why it matters that Jesus conquered the grave. So don't wait. We're offering Raul's 14-lesson Easter series on MP3 for a gift of $15 or more. To order, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 for your portable USB drive. That's 800-634-9165. Or write us at Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. We encourage you to take advantage of all of our many free Somebody Loves You resources as well. Keep Biblical Teaching and Study helps at your fingertips by downloading our app to your iPhone or Android. And be sure to join Raul on his YouTube channel every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific for Straight Talk, a Q&A program with helpful guidance for walking in step with the Lord Jesus. You can also download podcasts of all of these programs using Spotify or iTunes. We'd like to remind you that this is a listener-supported ministry. We are grateful for your partnership in spreading the hope of Jesus Christ. Our goal is to help you experience the close walk with God that He desires to have with you. Join us next time as we continue this Easter series with a deeper look into Jesus' resurrection and the impact it had on the world. This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.